This episode of the Feed Podcast is brought to you by the Chicago French Market. The market offers fresh ingredients for cooking at home, delicious grab-and-go options for any meal of the day, or even a simple picnic or office party.
The Chicago French Market, a taste of Europe in the heart of the Midwest.
The Feed Podcast is brought to you by La Briola Chicago, a neighborhood restaurant from artisan baker Rich La Briola, featuring homemade pastas and award-winning deep dish pizzas with caramelized cheese crusts. More information at labriolacafe.com.
The Feed Podcast is also brought to you by Craft House Cocktails. Satisfy your desire for a handcrafted cocktail when you can't get to your favorite bar. Craft House Cocktails are bottled cocktails made with only natural ingredients, created by world champion bartender Charles Joly. Craft House Cocktails, become the bartender you've always wanted to be. Just pour over ice and garnish.
See behind-the-scenes photos and get additional information before other listeners. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheFeedPodcast.
I know you're getting ready for the Good Food Festival. How do you describe that event to people? Because it's not your typical cooking demo, come and say hello and sign things.
No, not at all. Actually, it's a place for discovery, I think. It's not going to just be the celebrity chefs up there showing you how fabulous they are and what they can make and so forth, and then going to taste things that come from restaurants. You can taste some things that come from restaurants, and you can see some well-known chefs doing demos. But I always think of it as a place that you go to learn about new things that are from your area, because this is all about local food. And I have to say that almost every year I come back with new sources that then I sort of fold into our stable of suppliers for our restaurant. And that is really phenomenal to me that I can continue even after 30 years of doing this to find new things, because there's always new producers out there.
Well, coming up on today's show, the Good Food Festival and Conference comes back to Chicago next week. We're going to talk to a number of participants and find out what's on deck. Stay with us. This is the Feed Podcast. I'm Steve Dolinsky, food and travel reporter at ABC 7 News, the Chicago Tribune, and Canada's Globe and Mail.
And I'm Rick Bayless, the chef and owner of Chicago's Frontera Grill, Topolo Bampo, Shoko, Leña Brava, and host of Public Television's Mexico, One Plate at a Time.
And every week, the Feed Podcast takes a deep dive into the world of professional chefs, restaurateurs, food artisans, and drink experts, sharing their stories and uncovering their passion for food and drink. But that is not all. Rick and I are always traveling the globe for our jobs, eating, drinking, and immersing ourselves in local culture. If we find something exciting or interesting along the way, you can be sure it's going to find its way here to our James Beard Award-winning podcast. Well, the 13th annual Good Food Festival and Conference is just about here in Chicago. It's March 16th through the 18th at the UIC Forum. That is just south of Greektown. Saturday hours when the public's going to be there, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it's free this year, which is kind of cool. Goodfoodfestivals.com is their website. Here to talk about the big picture in our first segment today, Jim Slama, the president of Family Farmed and a producer of the conference, and Dr. Geeta Maker-Clark, a board-certified family physician specializing in integrative medicine. She's coordinator of integrative medical education for the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine and a faculty member at the U of C North Shore Family Medicine Residency Program. Did I get that correct?
Wow, that was a lot.
Welcome to both of you. That's quite a title.
Thank you.
All right, so Jim, we'll start with you.
Sure.
Tell us about this year's lineup.
All right. Well, 3 days. First day is our financing conference, and definitely more industry focused, investor focused, entrepreneurs looking to learn about how they can grow their business. And, in the last few years, businesses that have pitched to the conference have raised over $30 million in capital.
Wow, that is really, really remarkable.
A lot of zeros.
Yeah.
So they're pitching like a Shark Tank thing or what?
Yeah. And, sometimes people are, doing deals within 2 months, sometimes 6 or 12, but they're doing deals, which is really exciting. And some of them have turned into some really great companies. Farmer's Fridge is booming. They've just got another round of finance. They've got the vending machines.
Right.
And, Luke Saunders
came
to our show
a few
years ago.
What that project is all about.
Farmer's Fridge is basically a vending machine with amazing salads that have, you know, local greens and Jenny Yang's tofu and Mighty Vine tomatoes and all kinds of other, you know, unique flavors and products. And, you know, you can get them at the Nordstrom building or an 18 or in the Merchandise Mart. There's two of them. And
the first time I saw one of those vending machines and I saw what the ingredients were that were used in those salads, I was blown away. I could not believe that they were putting that kind of quality out there just for the general public. So making it really accessible.
No doubt. And, you know, one of the success stories that have come out of the conference, but we've had, you know, Jenny got a 1.5, and this is in the Tribune, so I'm not telling her story, but Jenny Yang from Phoenix Tofu got a $1.5 million loan from Chase, you know, who's also a funder of our accelerator. And that was a good relationship.
So you're bringing all the money guys together with the entrepreneurs, right, and seeing if there's any fertilization that can go on.
Exactly. And, you know, we have an industry that's had 30 years of double-digit growth, and they're all interested now.
Right.
Works.
But that's not the only thing that the Good Food Festival is about.
Trade show brings together buyers and sellers, and this is the oldest local sustainable trade show in America. But really, what most of your listeners, I think, will care about is Saturday, you know, which is a festival with 180 vendors, and, you know, folks like Rick or, you know, Rob Levitt's doing a demo. He always does a really cool butchering session, or, you know, they sample Mighty Vine tomatoes if they haven't had them before, or hear from folks like Dr. Clark and others.
Well, the theme this year seems like be food and health, right? And so I want to ask
part of it.
So, Dr. Clark, so tell us about your role here.
Yeah, so one of the things that we really want to discuss at the Good Food Festival, and which I feel like is an incredibly important part of the food movement, is the impact that food has on health, right? I mean, it's beyond the deliciousness and the flavor and the, you know, creativity of the chefs and the farmers featured, there's such a real need for us to be connecting food as a medicine, for the public at large to consider food to be the very first medicine that they take. You're taking multiple times a day, you know, it can either be a medicine, it can be a poison. So that's where my practice grows out of, what my teachings to the medical students and to my patients really revolve around. And so we're going to try to bring that discussion a little bit more to light. And it's been really well received in the past. So,
But I think about medicine as something that I have to take.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not, you know, we know about the bitter pill, okay?
Right.
And I don't think about food in that way. How do you approach food as pleasure as well as thinking of it just as medicine?
Yeah, that's a challenge, you know, because I think people think about food either as being something that brings them joy and pleasure, or they eat healthy. And then there's a lot of reduced joy involved in that method, right? It's like food they don't like, or as you said, the bitter pill is maybe bitter greens, you know, or something they've never eaten before. So it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that we all need to be working on together, which is why I'm happy to have this kind of a forum where we have chefs, we have farmers, there's doctors, there's food activists, all in one place where we can together be creating a movement that is moving towards health. Because certainly I think it can't be in the purvey of health care alone to be trying to do that.
No,
you know,
that's completely separated out,
right,
where you're not thinking about what you ingest as being something that's really health giving. And I know lots of countries in the world, when you mention a particular food, the first thing that will come out of people's mouths, besides it's delicious, is, oh, and it's so good for your whatever, you know? And I love to go to countries like that because it makes it a whole picture. It's like a food is pleasurable. It's health giving. It connects you to the seasons. It connects you to the earth. To me, food is the one thing that connects us completely to life and gives us our health.
Absolutely. And I feel like most food cultures around the world see that.
Yes.
And, you know, it's been an ancient wisdom that has been passed on through generations. And our food culture here needs to kind of evolve in that direction.
So can you give, without giving away the store, your whole seminar that's called Good Food is Good Medicine on Saturday the 18th, give us like one bit of advice that you're going to be sharing, or one nugget of information that we can...
Well, right now I'm really trying to focus on having people move as much as possible to a plant-based diet. So I'll probably speak to that a bit. I feel strongly that while not everyone needs to be a vegetarian or vegan, we all need to be consuming less meat and dairy, not just for human health, but for planetary health, which is becoming an increasingly, you know, more important aspect of human health. So that's something thing
that's
I'll focus
really
on.
Great.
You've made Saturday free now. No tickets necessary, right?
That is super
cool.
Yeah, Ticketmaster forced it. The university said, if you're going to be here, you have to use Ticketmaster. And basically, they were going to double the cost of our ticket. So we said, $10 to $20? Really? Let's make it free, and we'll ask people for a donation if they want to support us.
Happy That's days. Really great, because great. That means you're going to pack the house.
That'll be great.
And it's been Absolutely. Packed, but it'll even be more packed.
I know.
Except for, and there is, but there is one thing. There's the Urban Ag Bus Tour, which is a separate ticketed cost.
And we have some amazing urban agriculture, so that's going to be a great tour.
And, you're cooking, too. You're
yes,
doing a demo.
I'm
yeah.
cooking.
All right, great.
Doing
a demo All right, great. All right, Jim right. Slama and Dr. Gita Maker-Clark, thanks for coming in today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. Look forward to seeing you all.
We're going to take a short break, and coming up, we'll talk to the executive director of Pilot Light, a not-for-profit that helps kids make healthier choices about eating, and a participant at this year's Good Food Festival. Stay with us.
To the Feed Podcast. To get your weekly fix, subscribe to us on iTunes or visit our website, thefeedpodcast.com.
The Feed Podcast is brought to you in part by Stan's Donuts. With 6 locations in Chicago, Stan's is a legend in the making. The classic coffee and donut shop creates some of the city's best glazed donuts, but also gets creative with their Nutella or Biscoff stuffed donuts. Those Biscoffs are those European cookies that are crushed up and they put them inside the dough, inside the donut.
You're making me hungry. Yeah. But how about a gelato shake served with a mini donut on a straw? See all of the sweet details on their Instagram at Stan's Donuts Chicago, or visit them online at stansdonuts.com to find a location near you. And they are great donuts.
You don't have to be a professional bartender to get that same handcrafted cocktail experience at home anymore. That's because Craft House Cocktails do all the work for you. Made with only natural ingredients, enjoy a perfectly balanced cocktail right out of the bottle. Created by world champion bartender Charles Joly. Classic recipes include a Moscow Mule with CH Distillery vodka and an organic ginger beer kick. A Paloma featuring Casa Noble tequila with fresh grapefruit soda. As well as the South Side, offering the perfect balance of citrus, mint, and gin.
Look like the professional bartender you've always aspired to be. Just pour over ice and garnish. These are available in liquor stores, restaurants, even on United Airlines. Ask for Craft House the next time you've got a thirst for a handcrafted cocktail. This episode of the Feed Podcast is brought to you by the Chicago French Market, a European-inspired marketplace in the heart of Chicago. Featuring more than 30 specialty vendors, the market offers fresh ingredients for cooking at home, delicious grab-and-go options for any meal of the day, or even a simple picnic or office party.
My name is Mike Ferrazzulo. My brother and I started a meatball concept. We call it polpetti. It means meatball in Italian. So we got a classic beef one. We got a pork sausage, which is like an Italian sausage flavor. We have a chicken, which is a Vesuvio blend. And we also make a veggie, so that's all eggplant-based. Or just your meatballs in a cup if you just want the protein.
Located in Chicago's West Loop with 2 entrances, 131 North Clinton and 118 North Canal, next to the Ogilvie Transportation Center. Covered parking is free for an hour with a $20 purchase. Open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. until 7:30 at night. Saturdays, 8:30 until 5:30. Plus, free Wi-Fi. The Chicago French Market, a taste of Europe in the heart of the Midwest.
You're listening to the Feed Podcast. To get your weekly fix, subscribe to us on iTunes or visit our website, thefeedpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're talking about the 13th Annual Good Food Festival, taking place March 16th to the 18th at the UIC Forum, just south of Greektown in Chicago. And joining us for the second part of our discussion today, which focuses on good food for school health, is Alex DeSorbo-Quinn, the Executive Director of Pilot Light. Now, I know that chefs like Jason Hamill, Paul Kahn, and Matthias Merges helped start this organization back in 2010. But tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen at the festival and why you're participating.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me. At the Good Food Festival, I'm participating on one of the panels on Saturday, talking about school food and community and really why it's so important to be providing kids in the city of Chicago with knowledge about food so that they can make healthier choices for themselves, but also for their schools and their families and communities.
And tell us how you go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. So we believe that, well, every kid goes through school. Every kid is learning about math, science, social studies, and English. We have a captive audience in our schools, but they're not learning about food. And it's for a lot of reasons, mostly because of limited time and budget. The teachers are stretched really thin. So we support teachers in building food and nutrition education into the existing curriculum. So they're teaching kids about where food is coming from, how it gets to their table, why their choices are so important, and they're teaching it to them through math, science, social studies, and English.
That's cool.
Now, I remember running into Jason Hamill the day before or the day after one of these events where he actually went into the schools and prepared food, too. Does that happen?
Yeah, we do that a lot. We have a lot of chef visits to classrooms. We do lunchroom takeovers, and all of those experiences enhance classroom learning, but really the core of the program is making food education a core subject.
And it's part of the classroom.
Right, right. So we're helping the teachers meet their goals for their students, their academic goals, but at the same time, we're giving them that information they wouldn't be getting otherwise.
Do people ever ask you, is there confusion in Chicago? Because there's also Common Threads that Art Smith started, which is about teaching kids better nutrition or how to cook. Is there confusion about those two programs?
I think there is a lot of times just because it does sound similar, but Pilot Light is more focused on food education. We don't teach kids how to cook. We teach them about food through subjects like plate tectonics or fractions or immigration or migration. So they're learning about all of these other subjects that they'd be learning in school otherwise, but they're learning about it through food. And through that, they're seeing how food is it's such an important part of our lives. It connects us to each other. It connects us to our worlds. It sort of compels them to care about these subjects that they're learning anyway, but at the same time to care about food and their choices.
So you're basically just providing a curriculum to the teachers, or do you have staff that goes in and teaches as well?
We provide a curriculum, but we also support the teachers through professional development. So we have something called the Pilot Light Institute for Food Education, and we bring teachers throughout the city into the institute. We basically teach teachers about food in the same way we want to teach our kids. So we have chef demonstrations. Maybe Jason Hamill is teaching about tea, or Matthias Merges is filleting salmon. And along through that, the teachers are excited, they care, they are learning about food and how to build it into their curriculum so that it's just part of, it's integrated into what the students are already doing. Well, it's not something from the outside coming in.
And you lined up three of the best chefs in town in terms of ambassadors for what you're doing. So that obviously the chef community believes in what you're doing and they support it as well, it seems like.
Well, they founded Pilot Light.
And how many schools have you touched?
We're in 6 schools right now. Okay. We've touched about 3,000 kids throughout the city.
Wow.
And right now we're in 18 classrooms and expanding next year to be in about 50 classrooms.
So congratulations.
K-5.
So what will be happening on Saturday? You're on a panel with other people, or you're by yourself, or what do you be speaking about?
I'm on a panel with other people. I think the Gardeniers is also on the panel. I think we're talking about school food and why we should care about what our kids are learning in school, what they're doing in school, why learning about food is such an important part of the day.
And when is that on the 18th? Do you know when your panel is going to be?
We're
looking over to our handlers, and they don't have any kind of indication, but it's going to be on Saturday the 18th. I'm going to give Grant a hard time about not knowing what time that is. Okay. well, Alex, thanks so much for coming in today, and
thanks
great to have you here, and good luck with Pilot Light and everything you're doing for teaching kids in Chicago how to eat better.
Okay. Great work.
Yeah,
it's great
work.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you.
We're going to take one more break, but when we come back, talking about good food for community health, activism, and how to give back to the community. Then Rick and I wrap things up. Plus, we're going to preview some scenes from next week's show. Stay with us.
Still not full? Feast on the photos, recipes, and be a part of the conversation on Twitter, @TheFeedPodcast.
This episode of The Feed Podcast is brought to you by the Chicago French Market, a European-inspired marketplace in the heart of Chicago. Featuring more than 30 specialty vendors, the market offers fresh ingredients for cooking at home, delicious grab-and-go options for any meal of the day, or even a simple picnic or office party.
Serving food is medicine, okay? So we believe that you don't have to sacrifice taste for healthiness.
A staple that we have is our kale greens. Those have been in our business for over 35 years. They haven't changed the recipe, and it's amazing. Definitely. So I recommend anybody to come by to check those out. My name's Elle, and the main mark business is Vegan Now.
Located in Chicago's West Loop with two entrances, 131 North Clinton and 118 North Canal, next to the Ogilvie Transportation Center. Covered parking is free for an hour with a $20 purchase. Open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. until 7:30 at night. Saturdays, 8:30 until 5:30. Plus, free Wi-Fi. The Chicago French Market, a taste of Europe in the heart of the Midwest.
You're listening to the Feed Podcast. To get your weekly fix, subscribe to us on iTunes or visit our website, thefeedpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking about the 13th annual Good Food Festival and Conference taking place at the UIC Forum next weekend. Admission is free on Saturday the 18th. And in our final segment, we shift to good food for community health. Meg Barnhart is the founder and co-creator of Zen of Slow Cooking. She started the company in 2006 as a way to ease her mom guilt and get a healthy dinner on the table while employing individuals with learning challenges. And Jordan Buckner is the co-founder of Tea Squares, a tea-infused energy snack made with small batch organic tea, pepitas, and puffed millet. Its mission is to fuel economic development in urban centers. Welcome to both of you. So, Meg, how did Zen of Slow Cooking start?
I was a failed home cook.
A lot of people are failed home cooks.
I know. I have three children. They were very active. And make things a little more challenging, my middle son was diagnosed as developmentally delayed when he was a baby and really didn't have functional language until he was four. So by the time he hit school age, it was really challenging in the house. And I called my best friend, because that's what we do. And my best friend said, "Stop crying. You're not a failure. Get off the phone and go buy a crock pot." So that was my, you love it. So that's where the, and my mom cooked from scratch every day. I said, "I don't know what you mean." And she said, "It's like magic. You put food in the morning and you have it waiting for you." And so I went out the next day and bought one and fell in love with it. The smell, the aroma, the ease, the flexibility, until my baby daughter, 2 years into it, said, "Mommy, I can't eat any more thick meat." Because all I knew how to make was chili pot roast. And but anyway, so that's where the and so fast forward to 2010, I was sort of looking ahead to see what the state of disabilities would be like for my child when he aged out of the system, and found there are only 24.5% of adults with intellectual difficulties and only 36% of adults with physical disabilities are employed, and felt that that was really, I began to feel that was my calling, was to create a business that can employ adults with disabilities. And I didn't know what to do, and I was sitting with a friend one day, and I said, I know this is what I meant to do with my life, but I'm not sure what to do. And she said, "What do you having fun doing?" Which is a great question to ask. What are you having fun? And I said, well, I laughed. I said, "I'm really loving this slow cooking." I said, "My prep time's become my meditation time. I love the zen-like feeling when my aroma fills my house." And she said, "I don't know what you're talking about, but do that." So that's where the idea for the Zen of Slow Cooking. And then it took another year before I found my partner, Jane McKay, to help me co-create the business. And Jane brought her culinary talent, and she started an urban garden in Chicago, and I brought my Zen desire together, and we fused our vision together and created the Zen of Slow Cooking food blog in 2012. And then using our most popular recipes, we created a line of spice blends just for the slow cooker to create ease and simplicity. And then in 2014, when we left the farmer's market, we started partnering with Planet Access Company, which is a division of Search and Displays. So we would, Jane would hand blend the spices. I would take them to Planet Access. They would put them into packages for us. We'd bring them back to the market or our site online. And then I'm happy to say that 2016, Whole Foods has been an amazing partner, said, let's bring this to life. And we're doing some meal kits now with Peapod, which are awesome. So
you're going to be sharing your story, answering questions on the panel on Saturday.
We are not on a panel. We are actually going to be out sampling our chicken tortilla soup.
Oh, nice, great. Nice.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I guess we'll be there. And hopefully participating on Thursday.
Okay.
Learning about how to grow the business as a food entrepreneur.
So have you started employing people then? Is that
we
been
do?
Part of
we
the
partner okay. with Planet Access, so we have, and since we redesigned the packaging, we now have almost everybody. You know, we brought blends to share with you, so you guys will go home with some.
Oh, great!
But they actually cooker. Almost everyone is now packaging the blends with us, and they're running our whole wholesale operation.
Very cool.
Super. And then we teach complimentary. Jane and I teach complimentary cooking classes to adults with disabilities. Last Friday, we were at Have Dreams in Evanston teaching adults with autism.
That's great. Well, I want to get to Jordan, so I want to hear about your product too. So, okay. Jordan, tell me about what you're doing.
Definitely. So last year in 2016, we launched a company called T-Squares, which are tea-infused energy snacks. And we designed them to really help people to fuel their passions while at the same time fueling economic development in urban communities. So we actually manufacture them in the Inglewood neighborhood of Chicago. My mother grew up there. It's really important that when we started the business to bring some of that work and some of the business to Inglewood. So we actually manufacture there and we employ and we're getting to employ from the community as well.
So you're going to be in this accelerator, right? You're going to be making the pitch?
Yeah, so currently we're part of the Good Food Business Accelerator, which is focused on supporting small companies as they're providing great foods with a social mission as well. And so we're also going to be on the floor at the conference handing out samples so that people can try our products. They're light, they're crunchy, they're delicious tasting, and they're helping to fuel positive impacts on people's lives.
Well, they're really aromatic.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing us a sample of these today.
Citrus green tea matcha. Says.
Exactly. So it's fruit-filled, it's light, it's crunchy, almost like a rice cake or a popcorn texture. So they're satisfying.
Not as light as a rice cake, which are too light for me.
Exactly.
There's something I can really like
bite into. Yeah.
It's very satisfying.
I'm going to have another one, actually.
And the flavors are
great. Well, I love matcha. I'm a sucker for matcha. Delicious.
Yeah, but so, I like the citrus part of that. That's really good.
So it's blending all of those flavors together. And actually, my mother's a baker originally, and so I know how to make really good, tasteful food, but then making that light and healthier was one of the challenges. So we have our citrus green tea matcha flavor, our acai blueberry tea, and our Madagascan vanilla tea. And so they all blend great flavors together while naturally energizing from the natural caffeine in the tea, and also healthy fats and healthy sugars in there as well.
Oh my, I want that at my house. That's a great tasting snack.
So the 16th is really your big day then, right? That's the accelerator?
Yes.
Okay, so you're getting ready for that. So that's going to be great. So we're going to get to sample both of these on the 18th on Saturday, yeah?
We sure will.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Well, thanks again for coming in, both of you.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing you at the Good Food Festival conference.
It's going
to be the 16th to the 18th, but again, the 18th is the big day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. People want to come in, and it's free to the public.
Right.
Okay.
Coming up next week, an ingredient challenge that requires some strength, sort of. It's a muscle challenge against one of my colleagues here in Chicago. How do you get a meal on the table in 15 minutes or less using just muscles and 5 extra ingredients? That's next week on the show. You can always contact us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at The Feed Podcast. Another plus is that you can check out our ingredient challenges, get recipes and other information about previous shows by simply visiting our website, thefeedpodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. Be sure to follow me at Rick_Bayless.
And I'm at Steve Dolinsky. More information about the Good Food Festival on our website as well. Christine Scherer, not only our intern, but our photographer as well. All the photos you see on our website, courtesy of Christine. Thank you so much. Max Dolinsky supervised today's music, and the Feed Podcast is edited by Matt Cunningham at Truthful Enthusiasm. Whether you're an individual or institution, get your story online with truthfulenthusiasm.com. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Stop crying. You're not a failure. Get off the phone and go buy a crock pot. So that was my...
Wow.
You love it?